Welcome to Today on Broadway for Tuesday, April 12th, 2016. I'm Broadway World's Matt Tamanini.
And I am Broadway Stars James Marino.
I've been promising big announcements for the past couple weeks, and our first announcement will be coming out later this week, and we will announce it first on Twitter and Facebook. So follow us at Broadway Radio. I think you are really going to like this one. All right, James, go for it.
All right. The grosses have come out, so tell us, how are we doing?
Well, now that spring breaks are pretty much over and we have a full slate of Broadway shows, at least in previews, the numbers are down pretty much across the board. The biggest drop by gross percentage was Finding Neverland, which came down almost 24%, or from $924,000 to just $610,000. Only 10 shows actually saw gross increases this week, including Fully Committed, Long Day's Journey, Shuffle Along, Tuck Everlasting, and Waitress, all of which are still in previews and had their first week of either 7 or 8 performances. Waitress is still setting the bar for new spring shows with over $880,000 this week, so that's a bright spot. However, one of the more disappointing things so far this season is how poorly new dramas are doing at the box office, despite getting pretty good reviews across the board. Blackbird and Eclipse both got very strong notices, and the current West End production of The Father, which is still in previews here in New York, received 3 Olivier nominations, but all 3 failed to crack 50% of their gross potential, and Blackbird was the only one that even surpassed 35%. So hopefully, as word of mouth comes out, some of these more heavy dramas will see some increases at the box office. As normal, The Lion King pulled in the highest gross total this week at just under $2 million, while Hamilton was the only show to surpass 100% of its gross potential, pulling in 135.9% for $1,813,655. Things are going well with Hamilton still. James, this is pretty standard, though, isn't it? At the end of the spring break season, there's a bit of a lull until tourists come back en masse in the summer, right?
Yeah, I think that you're totally correct there. And also, there's another aspect of this that, Matt, I'm sure that you will feel for us, because we've had really erratic weather here, whether it be very, very cold or unexpected snow. It's just been miserable. So I think once the skies get blue and clear and the weather gets consistently above 60 degrees, I think we'll get a little bit better here, perhaps.
Yeah. Yeah, 60 degrees, that's really cold. That's about as cold as it's been here in the 2 years that I've lived in Orlando.
The other thing that we ought to mention is that Robbie Rizel over at Broadway Records is really tired of hearing about celebrities who go to Hamilton. So we'd like to request that the media stops reporting on celebrities going to Hamilton.
Didn't we do a story about Bernie Sanders going to Hamilton yesterday?
Ixnay on the Bernie Tay.
Sorry, Robbie.
Okay. So Barbara Streisand, tell us how she is doing.
Well, she's not yet been to Hamilton this week, as far as I know. But last year, the long gestating big screen adaptation of Gypsy, which she was to either star in and or direct, kind of hit a developmental wall at Universal Pictures. However, yesterday, Variety reported that STX Entertainment is in advanced negotiations to produce the film, with Barbara starring and the legendary Barry Levinson directing. The new adaptation for the screenplay will be helmed by Richard LeGravenaise, who most recently adapted and directed the, I guess it's a big screen adaptation, or the screen adaptation of Jason Robert Brown's The Last 5 Years. James, I'm going to throw Laura Benanti out of this discussion because I know she's going to be the default answer for both you and me. But if it's not Laura Benanti, who do you want to see play Louise in the film?
Oh, not Laura Benanti.
I think that's who we both want, but yeah. I'm just saying that's a given. So beyond the great Laura Benanti, who do you want to see?
Did I stump you? You totally have stumped me, and lots of women actresses now hate me.
Well, it's such a great part. Let's just say there are many great, fantastic female singing actresses who would be good in that part. But it is interesting, James, because we've talked on this show about a potential Broadway transfer of the West End production of Gypsy, and we've heard some rumors that it's in discussions and even maybe Roundabout being a part of that. Do you think that there might be a conflict between a big screen adaptation and a Broadway revival?
Well, the thing is with Broadway that the writers can totally stop a production you know, the writers have all the power on Broadway versus right. the studios in Hollywood. So if there is going to be a big screen film of it and they feel as though it's going to be in conflict with a revival that's coming up, or Split the Time and creative juices and marketing and all the other stuff that goes into it, I think that, you know, a movie could well scuttle a Broadway revival of it until after the movie is complete and out. So we'll have to see what happens.
Yeah, I think it'll have a lot to do with the scheduling, how quickly the transfer would happen and how quickly the movie could get into production. But I'm hoping that we can get the revival in soon, and then, you know, the normal process of getting a movie to screen takes a year or two at least. So maybe we'll have enough time in between where there won't be a conflict.
I know who should play Louise.
Okay, go ahead. Who?
Robbie Rizzo.
You're just trying to make up for the Bernie Sanders story.
Well, let's move on.
All right.
What's going on in the calendar? We have new word about Hairspray.
We do. A few weeks ago, we talked about the Hairspray Live open call that's happening at Telsey & Company on April 24th. Well, yesterday, we got a little more Hairspray Live news when NBC announced that it will air on Wednesday, December 7th, making it the first of NBC's recent live musicals not to broadcast on a Thursday. So I don't really know if there's anything to be read into that, but it's kind of interesting, I thought. Speaking of star-studded events, the Broadway League also announced yesterday that Stars in the Alley would take place on Friday, June 3rd, beginning at 12:30 p.m. in Broadway's legendary Schubert Alley. The free outdoor concert will feature performances by Broadway's best new shows, as well as long-running favorites. And it is kind of a lead-up event to the Tony Awards, which will happen just about 9 days later. The full schedule of performers and performance times will be announced at a later date. Down at the Public Theater, James, we kind of predicted this might happen, but it was announced yesterday that Head of Passes, which stars the incomparable Felicia Rashad, has been extended yet again and will now run through Sunday, May 1st. This got great reviews when it opened last month, so if you haven't seen it, get your tickets now. And in a potentially similar situation, Tony winner Jane Krakowski was on the Today Show yesterday to promote the upcoming second season of her hilarious Netflix sitcom, Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. But in talking about She Loves Me, the current roundabout revival that she's in, she let slip that it might not close as planned. Krakowski, who plays Ilona in the musical, said that it could possibly extend if people still come. So people, keep going to the show and get it extended for as long as humanly possible.
I would really be interested to see if and or what they're going to do on the Tony Awards for She Loves Me. I think that would be the key behind the extension there, which could be really great.
Yeah.
You talked a few minutes ago about Stars in the Alley. And
yeah.
Have you ever been to Schubert Alley, Matt?
I've been to Schubert Alley, but not for Stars in the Alley, no.
So forget about Stars in the Alley. Schubert Alley is where it's at, because you know what's in Schubert Alley?
Many things, but tell me what you're thinking of.
Juniors, where you can have cheesecake and hot chocolate. So,
see, I tend to come to New York in the summer, so the hot chocolate's out, and I'm not a big cheesecake fan. So I'm sure they have other things that are just as good, though.
Do you like bacon?
Oh, yeah. Who doesn't like bacon?
Okay. Well, I'm sure that they have a cheesecake bacon thing that can directly inject into your arteries and
I appreciate
stuff
it.
Like
Thank
that.
You.
All right. So let's move forward into casting news.
Yeah, we got some big news kind of from Vassar and New York Stage and Film, and they announced a few of their projects that will be a part of their 32nd annual Powerhouse season. One of the projects is playwright Taylor Mack's first ever 12-hour marathon performance of material from his a 24-decade history of popular music. Mack will co-direct with Nigel Smith, and probably appropriately, the show will be a one-day-only event on July 20th, starting at noon and running until midnight. The series will also feature a workshop of a new adaptation of Leslie Bricus and Anthony Newley's The Roar of the Grease Paint, The Smell of the Crowd, which will be adapted by Santino Fontana. Didn't know he was a writer. Roundabout is commissioning the adaptation, and Fontana will also star in the workshop. stage and screen star, John Slattery, who will be returning to Broadway this year in The Front Page, will direct a reading of Lorian Haynes' new play, Good Grief, and Josh Radner, stage and screen star as well, will premiere his first work as a playwright, Sacred Valley. The Powerhouse season will also provide an artistic residency for the new musical, Head Over Heels, which features a book by Avenue Q's Jeff Witte, and music will be from the Go-Go's. Michael Mayer will direct, but unfortunately, the residency will not include any public performances, so we'll have to wait and see whenever that has its official world premiere.
Jeff Witte, Michael Mayer. Wow, these are some good things that are going to happen there. And Josh Radner, John Slattery. Wow.
That's a nice one. Yeah, yeah, that's a good list.
That is a really fun list. So we're up to the point in our broadcast where we talk about Hamilton.
Yeah, their PR people know how to schedule things so that there's a new story every day. They're doing a pretty good job of that.
Yeah, so what's going on?
I am currently looking at my Amazon screen right now, James, and I am tracking my pre-order of the Hamilton as we speak.
It's like when Santa comes on Christmas Eve.
Right, and you follow it around. Yeah, yeah. NORAD follows him. Yeah. Hamilton, the Revolution by Lin-Manuel Miranda and artist and critic Jeremy McCarter gives readers an inside look at the story of Hamilton, both the founding father and the groundbreaking show, and it hits bookshelves today. This is one of the many rollouts that Hamilton has been doing, first with the book, then with the Hamilton mixtape coming out, and then the documentary on PBS in the fall. They really know how to schedule things so that they are always dominating the news cycle. I was talking with our friends over at the Hamilcast this weekend on Twitter, and they were a little worried about how they would be able to dive into both the Chernow biography, which they are going through on their podcast, and to delve into the Hamilton. So I make sure I do this right. I told them that they needed to read like they were running out of time.
I see.
You see how I
see
how
what
I did
you did
there.
Yeah, yeah, I see what you did there.
But I did. I pre-ordered it, so I'm excited to see it delivered tomorrow and kind of dive into it and see, even though I haven't seen the show, I'm excited to see, you know, all the nuts and bolts and everything behind the scenes. So I'm really looking forward to that coming into the mail tomorrow.
Well, is Hamilcast going to do a little a review on this anytime soon?
I have a feeling they will. They didn't tell me their plans, but they are going through, as we've talked with them before, they're going through the Chernow biography that inspired the musical. I have a feeling that even though they've got one book on their hands, it will be very difficult for them not to get into the Hamilton as well.
Well, they should be sponsored by Starbucks because they must be drinking a lot of coffee.
Either that or Amazon, yeah.
All right, Matt, why don't you get us out of here?
All right, thanks for listening to Today on Broadway. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Broadway Radio, and you can find me on Twitter at BWWMatt. And please subscribe to my pop culture podcast, Some Like It Pop. It would mean the world to me.
And I am James Marino from BroadwayStars.com and BroadwayRadio.com. We will talk to you tomorrow.